two criterion that have been mentioned for a person who wants to narrate a hadith to others. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at rules that must be observed when transmitting traditions and hadith to others. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program The Key, an IRIB English radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
You can also send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
The first day of September, the United Nations, in partnership with Palestinian health authorities, rolled out a campaign to vaccinate children in the Gaza Strip against the polio virus, which can lead to paralysis or even death in young children. Polio is a severe infection that can spread rapidly, particularly in unsanitary conditions, as it is transmitted through contact with feces. Since October the 7th, the Israeli military has dismantled water supply and wastewater disposal systems throughout the Palestinian territory, resulting in waste accumulation in small areas where hundreds of thousands of civilians have been forcibly displaced. The government media office in Gaza reports that the Israeli army has also halted the removal of waste from civilian areas by exerting control over waste disposal sites and targeting municipal workers, equipment, and systems responsible for waste management. The World Health Organization says that the disruption of routine immunization campaigns in the occupied Palestinian territory, including Gaza, has played a role in the reemergence of the virus. That said, the vaccination campaign alone will not suffice to prevent the spread of the virus. It fails to tackle the fundamental issues of hygiene, sanitation, and access to clean water, essential components in the eradication of polio, which seems elusive in wartime. In addition to causing death and injury, the war has disrupted routine healthcare services. Many hospitals in Gaza have been destroyed or damaged, and those still functioning are facing shortages of essential staff and supplies. Moreover, approximately 1.9 million people are internally displaced within Gaza, further hindering their access to healthcare. Meanwhile, campaign organizers encounter numerous challenges as the safety of healthcare workers is jeopardized by ongoing violence and instability. The conflict has already resulted in the deaths of over 500 healthcare professionals.
One of the biggest problems we're having and one of the biggest challenges is actually safely distributing the vaccination. It's far too dangerous for them to travel, to move. There is ongoing fighting. There was a lot of strikes this morning and through the night. So the fighting has not stopped by any means. There are some pauses throughout the day, but it's not guaranteed. We don't have guaranteed safety for people, and we really need that to reach all the children to get that 90% success rate.
Additionally, managing vaccine logistics can be complicated even in non-conflict regions. Most vaccines require specific conditions for transportation and storage. For instance, the polio vaccine becomes rapidly spoiled at temperatures above 8 degrees Celsius and must be stored between minus 15 degrees Celsius and minus 25 degrees Celsius before reaching healthcare facilities. To ensure product viability and patient safety, the cold chain must remain intact.
We are right now in the central cold storage where we have received more than 1.2 million doses of NOPV2 vaccine and approximately 400,000 doses are en route. These doses have been maintained in the cold chain, and these will be transported today to the various distribution points in the middle area.
While necessary refrigeration equipment has been brought into Gaza, the transportation and storage of vaccines are hindered by damaged roads, buildings, and power supplies. A limited electricity supply and ongoing fuel shortages further complicate the maintenance of cold storage. For full vaccine protection, children in Gaza will require a second dose within 2 months of the first. This will necessitate agreed-upon pauses in fighting to facilitate the process, along with mobilizing resources to sustain these efforts and ensuring the safety of healthcare workers. Prior to the first rollout initiated on September the 1st, Israel had dismissed calls from the United Nations for a ceasefire, opting instead for localized humanitarian pauses lasting only a few days. Concurrently, it escalated its bombing campaign in Gaza and carried out mass expulsions of civilians. Between August 19th and 24th, the Israeli army issued the highest number of evacuation orders in a single week since October 7th, promoting the UN to temporarily suspend its humanitarian operations. And again on September the 5th, Israel declined to coordinate the entry of medical teams for polio vaccinations in the area east of Khan Yunis in the southern Gaza Strip, home to a significant portion of the target group of children. It remains uncertain whether the UN will achieve its goal of vaccinating 640,000 children due to challenging operational conditions, the significant number of displaced individuals, Israeli restrictions on fuel supplies necessary for running generators and refrigerators to store vaccine, and Israel's refusal to fully cease hostilities. The effort to protect Gaza's children is further complicated by the ongoing Israeli bombing across all areas of the Palestinian territory, including the so-called safe zones that were designated by the occupying state shortly after the war began and on several occasions thereafter. When all is said and done, the suffering of Gaza's children extends beyond the lack of vaccinations. As of August 19th, at least 16,480 children were killed directly due to the war, with thousands more unaccounted for, presumed dead, beneath the rubble of their homes and other civilian infrastructure destroyed by Israeli attacks. Among those lost, the Palestinian Ministry of Health in Gaza reported that 115 were infants. Many Palestinian children have also succumbed to starvation. According to the ministry, at least 3,500 children in Gaza are facing similar fates due to a lack of food and malnutrition exacerbated by the Israeli restrictions on food deliveries. Furthermore, over 17,000 children in Gaza have lost one or both parents since the conflict began last October. A significant reason why children comprise a large portion of war casualties is that homes, schools, and shelters for the displaced have been primary targets of relentless Israeli bombardment. According to the Palestinian Ministry of Education, as of July the 2nd, 8,572 students in Gaza and 100 in the occupied West Bank have been killed by the Israeli army, with an additional 14,089 students in Gaza and 494 in the West Bank wounded. These represent the most devastating losses suffered by Palestinian children in a relatively short time since the Nakba, the destruction of the Palestinian homeland in 1948. International and humanitarian law mandates special respect and protection for children during armed conflicts. While these laws may theoretically apply to Palestinian children, their enforcement in practice is severely lacking.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, cherished listeners of IRIB English Radio. A heartfelt welcome to Islamic Upbringing. I'm your host, Zainab, delighted to have you joining us on the show. In this program, we explore your inquiries about raising children in accordance with Islamic principles, with answers rooted in the Noble Quran and the teachings of our beloved Prophet Muhammad. May peace and blessings be upon him and his purified family. Today, we are honored to have Brother Miqdad with us, a distinguished research scholar from the Revered Seminary of Qom with us. So, let's invite him. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, Brother Miqdad, we have been talking about willpower with you. So far, we said that it's an inner ability. It's more than a feeling or understanding. It's that inner strength and power that keeps you going on towards a particular direction without getting deviated. So we said there are many ways to reach this goal, and not having this willpower actually leads to failure and the feeling of being unsatisfied or worthlessness, or people evaluate themselves negatively. We said that humans have two faculties. One is the aql, the intellect, that helps them understand the good and bad. And there's also this faculty of desire, the feelings of pleasure and the feelings of anger. And these two faculties are in constant battle when it comes to teenagers. So you said that one of the very easy ways is to ask intellect, what should I be doing to get control over that anger or to get control over the bad things?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, so we were talking about this retreat that I had the opportunity to go with some of the youths, 17-year-olds, and we talked about willpower in different discussion circles across
right.
3 days. One of the things that, so following up on the things that we talked about, we then came to this idea and this discussion about goal. So up until now, when we every time we talked about willpower, we said that the goal is very important.
Right.
To kind of illustrate this and how it's important to focus on the goal.
Right.
There's a very beautiful story where there's a youth that comes to a scholar, and he used to go to him for classes. So he would have to travel and walk across the city to
right.
the other side and to then go to his teacher's house. One day he tells his teacher that, sir, I have an issue. Is that when I'm walking to your house, I'm walking on the streets, I can't control my eyes. I keep looking at haram things whilst
right.
I'm walking on the road. Something that many people would face, a challenge many people would face, especially when in summer days people wear less and less clothes.
Right.
When you're walking down the streets, he said to his teacher that I can't control my eyes. I keep looking at the different haram things on each side of the road. He's like, can you help me with this? So the teacher tells him that he gives him a small plate, a very, very small plate, and he puts it on an egg. He says, go home. Tomorrow when you come, I want you to put the egg on the plate, and I want you to bring this plate to me, making sure that the egg doesn't fall. So the youth goes back home, And the next day he comes and he does exactly what he's supposed to do. He puts an egg on the plate and he comes to the teacher's house. When the teacher comes and he tells the youth, there was quite a few things that happened on the road. Did you notice anything this today? And so the youth tells him, actually, no. I didn't even look at anything in the road. I didn't notice anything whilst I was walking. So he asks him why. He says, I was just too busy trying to make sure the egg doesn't fall from the plate. So the teacher tells him that this is exactly the solution, that if we're to focus on the goal, you had a goal when you were coming. The goal was to make sure the egg doesn't fall. Because you were so focused, you weren't distracted by what was happening around you.
Right. So focus is important. That does not let you deviate, or that does not let you fall into the trap of your desires, or it helps you get control over your nafs, actually. So we'll discuss more with you, Brother Mikhtar. Let's take a short break here. We'll be back in a while.
IRIB English Radio presents A Priceless Gift to Parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic upbringing. I'm with Brother Mikhtar, and we are discussing willpower. Well, Brother Mikhtar, you said that to develop that willpower, goal is very important, and you discussed a very beautiful story that helped us that if you have focus, then it's very difficult to get distracted.
And you find that youths are like this and they understand very well. For example, if you tell them during exam time, what happened during exam time? Suddenly football is not important, lunch is not important, even sometimes coffee is not important, sleep is not important. People, youths, when it comes to a week before the exams, they are an overdose of these energy drinks, basically trying to stay awake all night and revise and kind of sacrifice on so much of the fun things that they can do.
Right.
Why? Because they're focused on a particular goal that they have, which is to pass the exams.
Right.
And so in our life, it's like this as well. If we want to really have a strong willpower and be able to control our actions in a way that we don't get distracted from the different things that happen around us, we need to make sure we focus on the goal. So question, what is the goal in life that we need to have?
Right.
So what we did in the retreat was to go step by step, is to talk about the different goals that youths have. So usually when we talk about goals at this age, you're talking about the first goal is to make sure that we finish school with good A-levels or whatever degree that we're going to, baccalaureate or A-levels, and get good grades.
Right.
Why do you want to get good grades? What is the goal behind getting good grades? The answer is usually because I want to go to university.
Right.
I want to make sure that I get a good degree from a good university and get a place in a good university. Question, what is the purpose of going to university? The answer is because I want a stable job. I want to make sure that when I apply for jobs after my university, I can get a good job with a good pay. And having a good degree from a good university would allow me to have a good job. Question, why would you want to have a good job? The answer is because I want to live comfortably, have some money, buy a house, get a family, get married, settle down, etc. Question, why would you want to settle down? Why do you want to get married? Why would you want to have a comfort in your life? And then that's it. And then people start thinking, okay, you're right. What's the purpose? And you realize that there has to be a purpose.
Yes.
There has to be a greater reason why I'm doing this.
Right.
But what is that greater reason? Why am I so, why do I place so much importance in wanting to settle down, have a good job, and kind of work towards this? What is it that I'm working towards?
Right.
Again, it's a very beautiful story that we can share over here. The story goes like there is a person who's sitting in the shores of Africa, an African person sitting by the beach, And this white guy comes to him and goes, it's got a cliche to it as well. He goes to him, what are you doing? He says, I'm fishing. He says, how long do you fish for? He says, I fish one or two fish. It's enough for me to feed my family. The rest of the time, I just relax by the beach and enjoy myself. And the white guy goes, he's like, this is a bit of nonsense. Why don't you just fish a bit more, work a bit harder, fish a bit more time so you'll get more fish. So right. The guy goes to him, why would I get more fish? He says, so you can sell it. And if you sell your fish, you'll get a bit more money. He says, okay, then what do I do? He says, if you sell a lot of fish, you'll get more money. Then you can start opening a fish shop and a fish industry.
Right.
Oh, wow. Then what? Then you can hire people. They'll work for you. They'll come do the fishing as well. Oh, wow. And then what? Then you can buy a boat. Once you buy a boat, you can buy a fishing net. Then you start opening a massive industry of fishing. And you have a factory. You kind of serve and sell fish to the entire world. And so this black guy goes, wow. And then what? He says, then you are now the CEO of a big organization, a multimillionaire sending fish all across the world. Then you can come to the beach and you can relax by the beach. Well, people are working for you.
Right.
This guy goes to him and says, you're crazy. He said, I do all of that for 50 years. I'm already sitting over here enjoying my time at the beach.
Right.
What was the point of all of that? What was the purpose of all of that? And the story really is interesting. It's a funny story.
Yeah.
But it really shows us, okay, we did all of this to come to the first point, which was to sit down on the beach and relax and enjoy ourselves.
Right.
What was the point of the whole career that we're going to? What was the point of having money?
Getting back to
something. So these are the kind of questions that we talk to youths about it and teenagers about it. They kind of reflect about, okay, what is life's purpose? What am I trying to achieve
right.
in my life?
We'll discuss more with you, Brother Mikdar. Let's take a short break here.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. We're with Brother Mikdad and we're discussing willpower. Brother Mikdad discussed a very beautiful story with us. I was also funny and also very, very interesting that what's the purpose of doing things that you keep on doing in your life. And like, for example, we also have this in Urdu. It says that bahut nikle mere arma lekin phir bhi kam nikle. There are so many wishes that got fulfilled, yet they are not all the wishes that got fulfilled. Well, like human being, his wishes, his desires, they never end. They never seem to have an end. But also you said that all these aims and desires and goals should be focused.
Right. So when we do this, what we did was we brought the youth to kind of, and the teenagers to kind of think about their purpose in life. And obviously then you start introducing what Islam talks about, purpose in life. So we have the ultimate purpose, which is to become a true human being that is a servant of Allah, that
yes.
is able to get close to Allah, that is able to manifest Allah's beautiful names, that is able to become a morally good person, to have knowledge of the reality, to connect with the reality. All of these things kind of talk about the same things. And obviously it's difficult to explain each of them. But the key is this, is that when we talk about this, getting close to Allah, becoming a good servant of Allah, self-improvement, becoming morally good, knowledge of Allah, knowledge of the reality, etc. All of these are very noble goals. But the key that we really want to put across, and this is very, very important, and I think adults need to understand this as much as these youths need to understand as well, is that this is not a goal that is limited in certain actions that we perform. In other words, people think of these goals, getting close to Allah, and they say, okay, praying, fasting, giving khums, and going to Hajj and Ziyarah.
Okay.
The answer is not that. No, that's not a correct way. And on the contrary, everything in our lives that we do has to match with this goal. So
yes.
going to work, going to university, going for A-levels, exams, etc., all of this, my studies I'm doing, it's all in line with this goal, that in every place I am, whether it's at school, whether it's at university, whether it's at work, if I'm able to do all of that in a way that Allah is pleased with,
right.
then that's me achieving my goal. This is me kind of getting close to Allah. If I'm earning, for example, to live a comfortable life, to not be dependent on others, to support a family, to be able to give charity, to be able to help the Muslim community, all of that are noble goals that are in line with the ultimate goal, which is to become a better human being, to become close to Allah, to become a true servant of Allah. And so very, very important is that because we've talked about willpower as something that is very closely linked to a goal and we should be focused on that goal at every moment, then what we need to do is explain this goal in a way that this goal encompasses our entire life. Right now, I'm talking to you on this radio show and you are listening to me on this whilst you might be doing other things at the same time. There is a goal that you have. Why are we doing this? Why am I sitting here recording this show, and why you're listening to this whilst doing other things? This should all be in line with me getting close to Allah. And if I'm able to do this like this, then what happens is that I'm focused on the goal. That these apparent actions of talking on the radio, listening to the radio, going to work, all of them are all connected. Like you know how you have a tasbih, and all of them, the pearls are connected with one rope. That string that attaches all the beads. So you have the beads of work, and the beads of football, and the beads of holidays, and the beads of family, and the beads of relationships, and the beads of etc. All of them are connected with the rope, which is the rope of getting close to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala.
Right. So we have to analyze our actions, and if they are in line with the commandments of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, then we are focused. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our willpower and may we get the ability to control our actions. Thank you so much, brother, for being with us. Thank you, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.
Everyone has a beloved, a new dear friend. But I have you, my dear. May God protect you, my dear. May God protect you.
IRIB English Radio. For those who seek the truth.
Start. Movement. Speed. Live in hope. Tour the pitch. On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam my deen. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Youth Station. Welcome back to a new episode of your very favorite Cozy Corner.
You're listening to Youth Station. This is Zainab. And
of course, this is Asma. Well, I'm happy to be here again. For sure, you have seen vultures. Like, there are different vultures.
I have.
Turkey vultures, black vultures. There are different sorts of vultures.
Yeah.
They are actually predators. And they are sort of very scary birds, let's call them. Yeah. So not all sorts of birds are beautiful. Not all birds are going to be like swallow, so tiny,
soft,
and so beautiful, with a beautiful voice. What people pretend to keep in their cages. Have you ever seen people to keep vultures in their cages at home? For sure, no.
No, of course not.
But have you thought about it? Why?
Let us try it.
If we forget about the fact that they're predators and they could kill me and eat me and my entire flesh. But then if you put that aside, then when people come to judge you based on your appearance. Yeah. And when you are going to be missed out, this is a very... very sad and depressing notion.
It is. Unfortunately, we live in a society where social validation counts a lot. Where you yourself don't have much self-confidence about yourself. Do not define yourself. Society defines standards and norms for you, how you should be, I don't know, looking, what makes you look beautiful, without knowing the actual meaning of beauty.
Yeah. That's very true.
Because to me, beauty is like, it's not subjective to one thing. It's, it does not end up in appearance only. Yeah. We have beautiful minds.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking just about. Now, I guess the entire notion has to be redefined. Like, what is beauty?
It's not limited to one thing. I think there's this... sometimes, you know, we see something that looks apparently appealing to us. We call it beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, no, it's not just the appearance. Sometimes there's this aesthetic beauty, there's inner beauty.
Yeah.
There's art. And everything has got
yeah,
beauty.
Speaking of art, well, the thing I mentioned, the analogy I mentioned at the very beginning of today's episode was an idea from a Persian poet whom I love so much, who is Sohrab Sepehri. And then it's actually a long poem talking about life and how we have to wash our eyes. He actually literally puts it this way, that we have to wash our eyes and see things differently.
Yeah.
Everybody keeps beautiful birds. Yeah. Everybody keeps beautiful birds in the cages, but they do not care about the other birds. Why not? Why not a vulture in a cage?
Okay.
Because that's an image we have never had in our mind. It's actually defamiliarizing the preset concepts for you and telling you that, okay, if this bird has got some beautiful wings or whatsoever, beautiful beak, anything... You have
maybe
to change
you would
your
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have to just redefine your definition of beauty.
Yeah.
As we have to go for a break.
Welcome back. This is Iran Radio and Asma and Mee's here on your favorite station. This is
Youth Station.
And we're talking about what is beauty. And we so far have explored this concept that beauty goes beyond appearance.
You have to wash your eyes, maybe.
Yes, maybe you have to look at the things
who
differently.
Who told you that only this sort of features in a face is beautiful? Who told you that black is not beautiful, white is beautiful? Who said that? I mean, why?
And the emotion with which Asma is saying that in front of me, and if this person is found who defined these concepts, and if he comes
be the
and
vulture.
Stands in front of Asma, she'll be the vulture.
Yeah. Well, generally, these preset ideas make me so angry. Why?
Because based on the prejudice, sometimes the decisions we make are not the correct decisions. Like, we redefine things as, like, if looking at Islam, if we get back to many things, Islam tells you that beauty lies in speech.
Exactly.
Islam tells you that talk.
In your piety, in your morality, exactly. In your manners, in the way you speak to people.
It tells you beauty is kindness.
Exactly.
It tells you beauty is empathy.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you beauty is to be, you know, to be with the oppressed,
yeah.
To stand for the oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
This is beauty. So, you know, to stand against oppression is beauty. As Lady Zainab Salaam Alayha has said, I saw nothing except
yeah.
beauty. So, like, standing up, what was there? There was standing up against oppression.
Yeah.
So...
And it was not just that, of course. It was a loyalty and was love above anything else.
Of course. Like, it's so many things. Islam defines beauty.
In different manners.
Well, yeah,
there are many stories
manners.
Out there.
Sometimes the jamal is the lisan.
Exactly.
So sometimes
that
the beauty
lies
in
your
the
tongue.
Words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in your tongues. And also Quran says that whenever you talk, talk beautiful.
Yeah.
Utter beautiful words. Utter nice words. So be kind, you know. So this having beautiful morals, having good morals is,
exactly.
is a beauty.
And sharing positivity would be a beautiful thing in your personality and your future. By the way, there are many stories as well in literature, like many novels, many short stories, many poems, trying to attract your attention into something that is not beautiful and you're redefining your concept of beauty. And telling you that it's not always the blue sky that's beautiful. Sometimes the cloudy sky is much more beautiful. It's not always a white face that's beautiful. Sometimes the black color is beautiful as well.
Your words remind me of an analogy, and I think we all right now, especially women, we are listening to the words of the donkey. Mm-hmm. There was a tiger and donkey. Donkey said the grass is blue.
Yeah.
And the tiger said the grass is green.
Yeah.
Now fighting together, they went to the king of the jungle. They went to lion and asked him. Donkey said to him, "Your Majesty, the grass is blue." I said, "That's a tiger." And the lion says, "Yes, you're right. The grass is blue." So he says, "Thank you. So I want you to punish tiger." So he says to tiger, "Okay, tiger is punished to not to speak for 5 years. He has to be silent for 5 years." And the donkey goes running and he's excited. Now he won this and all and he left. Now the tiger says, "Your Majesty, you also know the grass is green. Then why did you punish me?" He says, "Of course the grass is green, but I have punished you because of, you know, having this conversation with a fool." So
okay, that's very nice.
And that too, coming up with a stupid question to me. So yeah, like, you know,
sometimes you don't have to.
Now, when I said this, so sometimes we are listening to the words of a donkey, is that now on social media, on other things, they are giving me body image concepts. And I'm listening to donkey right now.
Unfortunately,
they're telling me this is beauty. The grass is blue, and I'm accepting grass is blue.
Yeah.
It is not beauty. They are defining beauty standards for me, but no,
there is
not.
No standard. The thing is, there is no standard for beauty, except as what we said, like your manners, your piety, your whatever that God has set for you, whatever that is going to determine your future and the hereafter. That is going to be the only thing as your beauty. By the way, if we come back to reality, to the real world, as I just told you, nobody's going to keep a vulture in their house. What? That's actually an analogy. Nobody is going to befriend someone who's so ugly, suffering from a specific disease that would affect their appearance. Nobody would befriend them. Entrusting their investment in the hands of someone who does not have any experience. This also could be considered as an ugliness.
Yes.
Like, I do not have any experience. This is going to be considered as ugliness. I do not have this ability or that ability that you actually expect me to have. And then you're going to judge me as ugly in this field, at least.
Do you remember the saying from David Hume? It says that beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder.
Exactly. Now, let's go for a break and then we'll come to wrap it all up. Yes, you were just saying beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. So let the beauty be in your eyes, not in the things that you look at them. This was another quote from another poem by another person. Yeah. But they all are trying to say the same thing. By the way, speaking of standards, I just remembered something. We all the time try to categorize things. Like, I think human minds work like that. Like, this group is ugly, that group is beautiful.
Yeah.
And we forget the whole stuff that everybody is beautiful in their own way.
I think William Wordsworth also says in one of the poems, I think, it talks about a flower that grows under a stone and is not seen by all.
Oh, yeah.
And the poet says that I saw this flower as to be a beautiful one. But he actually talks about a woman who has not been out, you know, is not very outgoing in a society.
Yeah,
with makeup,
not very sociable.
Yeah, not very sociable. And when this flower kind of dies under the stone itself, and he says that, and oh, the difference to me.
Yeah.
So
it's you who differentiates stuff.
Yeah, nobody recognized her. But it was me, like, even if, like, this woman was inside and never being so sociable and all. But I know how much intellect she possessed. I know how much art she possessed. And I know. So it's not all about, like, someone will be outgoing, outspoken. Only those people are beautiful. Sometimes these introverts are also so beautiful because they have the high sense of art sometimes. Especially in terms of, for example, writing. And they're not outspoken, but they're very good writers.
Exactly. Sometimes I don't know if it has happened to you or not, but sometimes you have something at home, you don't consider it as something so useful and so beautiful as to bring it always to the foreground. But then after some years, you pick it and say, oh, why did I just put it here? It looks beautiful to you after years.
After years.
And it actually tries to tell you that sometimes it's your perspective. It's the way you see things. It's the concepts you attribute to things.
As for the society you were living in 3 years ago.
Exactly.
Because you make society to decide your standards, beauty standards, basically. Yeah. So I think that's the problem goes there. What else?
So there are many celebrities out there. That might be the wish of many girls to look like them, or as for the boys, there are some male celebrities that they would wish to be in their position, but they would be pretty much surprised and shocked if they know that even those celebrities that are, oh, heaven in the eyes of the beholders, they have got a lot of problems and issues and they're not satisfied with their own life. So everybody has got, you know, an Achilles heel. Everybody has got a problem. Everybody has got an issue, and being beautiful is not defined by where you are, where you stand, how beautiful you are based on the standards that the world has put for you. It's in you. Not all that shine is gold, so not all that is considered beauty.
Yeah.
And according to you, is not going to be really beauty, actually, according to many other people. So I guess this was all then. We'd end it this way. We have to wash our eyes out because we're seeing things in a common way and it's time for us to redefine it all. And this was all.
Look at the patient people, look at the kind people, look at the caring people around you and you would find beauty at its pinnacle.
God's creation has got so much of beauty in it, even if it is a vulture.
Yes, even if it's a vulture, we got to wash our eyes.
Yes. So thank you for staying with us until another episode. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings. Be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum. Wassalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Ya Latif.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special Program on this beautiful Sunday, October 27th, 2024. I'm Atefa Irfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is a Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is Listeners, a special program, and here we've received reception reports from around the world. Also, we've received emails, which I mentioned some of your names here, and later during the program, I will read these emails. Mohammad Khaku from the U.S., one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us a piece of email regarding the world developments. And Malik Alabachaya from Pakistan, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us a piece of email talking about, actually, IRIB English Radio programs. Many thanks for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. So, after a short break, I will be back with you talking about a very special cave in Iran. Stay tuned. Caves are one of the most famous and mysterious nature's attractions. Wonders hidden under the roofs and between the walls. Every cave has a story to tell, and what it has seen and what it has went through, and inside each could be a different world. One of these caves is good old Ali Sadr Cave. Whether you live in Iran or you're planning an adventurous trip to Iran and you're passionate about nature and call yourself a nature lover, Ali Sadr Cave is waiting for you. Well, after reading one of your emails, I will talk about this great cave in western Iran. Malik Alabachaya from Pakistan says, Radio Department English Service, dear sir or madam, IRIB English radio programs are broadcast by many international radio stations to cater to a global audience. These programs serve as a platform for listeners around the world to stay updated on news, current affairs, and cultural topics in English, regardless of their native language. The primary focus of these programs is often to provide educational content, global news, and insights about the country broadcasting the program. International audience, fostering better mutual understanding and cooperation. These programs often feature segments on politics, economics, science, and technology, as well as music, literature, and other aspects of culture. For many listeners, these English language broadcasts serve as a valuable learning tool. People learning English as a second language find them useful for improving their language skills while staying informed about global events. Overall, English language radio programs are a vital resource for connecting people across borders. They allow listeners to explore global perspectives, gain insights into other cultures, and improve their language skills all through the medium of radio. Kindly post me literature regards Malik Alabachaya from Pakistan. First of all, salam and warm greetings from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, to you, Malik Alabachaya from Pakistan. Many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. And what you described was right. Thank you very much. Please accept our EQSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. After a short break, I will be back with you. This is Listeners Special, and we were talking about Ali Sadr Cave in western Iran. Nestled deep within the Zagros Mountains of western Iran lies the extraordinary Ali Sadr Cave. This natural wonder, located near the village of Ali Sadr in Kabudar Ohang County, has captivated visitors for centuries with its otherworldly beauty. Stretching for an impressive 11 kilometers, Ali Sadr is one of the world's largest water-filled caves. Although its full extent remains unexplored due to its complex network of tunnels and chambers, the accessible 2 kilometers offer an unforgettable adventure. Geologists have determined that the cave's formation dates back to the Jurassic period, making it millions of years. Wow, such a long time. Over time, water has carved intricate passageways and adorned the walls with stunning mineral formations. The cave's unique ecosystem, coupled with its historical significance as a potential shelter for early humans, adds to its allure. Well, it's wonderful. I will talk about it more, but after a short break, I will read one of our listeners' emails, Muhammad Khaku from the U.S. Welcome back. As I said, Muhammad Khaku from the U.S. has sent us a piece of email. Of course, it's such a long email, but I have chosen some part of it to read for you. It's about, actually, it's about the world developments, about what is happening in the region, in the West Asia region, in Gaza and Lebanon. Muhammad Khaku, our old and regular listener from the U.S., says, "The conflict in Gaza and Lebanon is a point of reflection, the likes of which our generation and, frankly, no one in human history has seen such a genocide carried out while nations that proclaim themselves champions of human rights remain silent. The first point of reflection is that for the first time in over 75 years, the flights of Palestine have garnered global attention, shedding light on the history of colonial settlers, the Balfour Declaration and the Nakba. Former colonial powers such as Portugal and Belgium have recognized that occupation and land confiscation do not constitute justice and must be dismantled. Support for Palestine has emerged from South Africa, which has brought Israel before the International Court of Justice, ICJ, the United Nations, and garnered backing from numerous European countries, which was never imagined. The second point is that for the first time in its history, the United Nations has explicitly and unequivocally, in its harsh terms, condemned occupation. However, the UN was ostensibly established to protect superpowers and colonial regimes, which is a rationale behind the veto power. The third point is that before October 7, Muslim and Arab regimes were on the verge of signing the Abraham Accords to facilitate and expedite trade, tourism, and daily flights from Israel, which are now on permanent hold. The fourth point to ponder is that the BDS movement has been so robust and effective that it has led to an unprecedented situation where several Fortune 500 companies have declared bankruptcy, downsized their workforce, and witnessed their stock values drop for the first time in history. The effectiveness of the BDS movement is phenomenal, and if a billion-plus Muslim in force and practice, we will soon liberate Palestine. Sadly, oil embargo by Muslim countries could have prevented the genocide." Well, it has many paragraphs, what Muhammad Khaku from the U.S. has written, and it was great. Yes, it was correct. And what you mentioned in your email, Muhammad Khaku, was the effectiveness of the BDS movement, which is boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against the Zionist regime goods and products, which is very effective. We have seen the effect of this movement in recent days. different products which the Zionists have invested in, the rates, their profits have plummeted, and it's, as you said, the effectiveness of this movement is very phenomenal. And if a million plus Muslim enforce and practice, we will soon liberate Palestine. It's true. Well, Mohammad Khaku from the U.S., many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio and listeners, a special program. We wish you all the best. A piece of EQSL will soon be sent to you as confirmation to this email. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Welcome back. One of the most distinctive features of Ali Sadr Cave is its accessibility by boat. Visitors can embark on a mesmerizing journey through the underground waterways, marveling at the towering, stalagmites that adorn the ceiling and floor. It's wonderful. I have seen the photos. Unfortunately, I didn't have the chance to visit the cave, but I have seen the photos. It's marvelous. The play of light on the water creates a truly enchanting atmosphere. Recognized as a national treasure, Ali Sadr Cave has earned its place among Iran's most popular tourist destinations. Whether you are an adventure seeker or simply appreciate the beauty of nature, this hidden gem is sure to leave a lasting impression. The view inside the cave is quite unique, and its weather is cool in summer and warm and pleasant in winter. Yes, that's it. That's Iran. Some measures have been taken to increase the length of the waterways for boating as well as land routes, which have added new and beautiful views to the experience of visiting the cave. Moreover, around the cave, there are accommodation, tourism, and recreational facilities around the area. And also the possibility of mountaineering is provided in this area. Much left to talk about the Ali Sadr Cave, but time tells me we have to say goodbye to you. But before that, I just wanted to send my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of you who have kindly sent us emails and reception reports from around the world, including Malik Alabachaya from Pakistan and Muhammad Khaku from the US. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and listeners, a special program. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
We once had a teacher
a teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures. Oh, in the name